Good morning, and welcome to the Intercorp Financial Services first quarter 2017 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At this time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, please begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. On today's call, Intercorp Financial Services will discuss its first quarter 2017 earnings. We are very pleased to have with us Mr. Luis Felipe Castellanos, Chief Executive Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Miquela Casaza, Chief Financial Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mr. Juan Pablo Segura, Chief Financial Officer of Interseguro, and Mr. Reinaldo Rosendit, Chief Executive Officer of Inteligo Group. They will be discussing the results that were distributed yesterday. There is also a presentation to accompany these results. If you didn't receive a copy of the presentation or the earnings, it is now available on the company's website, ifs.com.pe, to download a copy. Otherwise, for any reason, if you need any assistance today, please call iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Luis Felipe Castellanos, Intercorp's Chief Executive Officer, for his opening remarks. Mr. Castellanos, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and thanks to all for joining our earnings call to review our first quarter 2017 results. This year is proving to be a more challenging year than expected. GDP growth expectations for the year stand now at around 3%, as internal consumption continues to be weak, coupled by the delay in the recovery of private and public investment. El Niño Costero came up as a big surprise, and many regions in the country were affected and declared an emergency, especially in the north and the central regions, with the full impact still to be assessed. On the positive side, we have to say that expectations for 2018 are better, since the country should go into recovery mode through investments aligned with the reconstruction of the affected areas, full effect of the government's actions targeted to boost up the economy, and better expectations from the business community. The financial system continues with low growth and low activity, with the PDL ratio system-wide increasing to one of the highest levels during the last years. Nevertheless, the financial system in Peru remains solid, profitable, and well-capitalized. Under that scenario, Interbank was able to grow its loan portfolio in the first quarter, mainly as a result of the recovery of our commercial portfolio. However, the activity in our retail business contracted, mainly in consumer financing, given the low growth witnessed in internal consumption and the risk tightening measures we have taken since mid-year 2016 to manage the deterioration of the quality of the portfolio, and with the aim to migrate to better risk quality customer segments. We continue to see strong increase in provisions, particularly due to the deterioration of our credit cards portfolio. Our focus continues to be centered in managing risk and maintaining good efficiency levels, while we continue to heavily invest in our digital efforts. The impact for El Niño is still to be assessed. We will go into some detail later on the call. Interseguro continues to manage the aftermath of the changes in regulation, with management focused in efficiency and launching new products to diversify into new segments. With AUM north of 5.6 billion, Interseguro continues to be a leading company in the life insurance industry. It is worth to mention that we expect no direct impact from El Niño in our insurance operations. Inteligo had a very solid quarter, achieving strong growth. Inteligo continues to provide IFS with a good level of earnings diversification, with strong fee income, and with very profitable and efficient operations. Now, let me pass it on to Miquela to continue with our report.
Thanks, Luis Felipe. Let me add some additional comments related to the Peruvian economy and financial system. There has been a downward revision of the 2017 GDP growth from around 4.5% to 3.5% and consequent upward revision of the 2018 figure. The downward revision is mainly due to three reasons. First, the recent Niño phenomenon, which according to certain consultancy firms has impacted GDP growth by roughly 1%, mainly in sectors such as agriculture, commerce, and other services. Second, the delay in the starting of infrastructure projects due to the ongoing corruption investigations. And third, the delay in the recovery of the private investment, mainly due to the two above mentioned issues. With the Niño phenomenon now over, the estimates of its impacts include almost 200,000 people damnified, more than 40,000 houses destroyed, as well as 3,500 kilometers of roads and more than 300 bridges. These figures are even bigger if we include also the partially affected people and houses, roads and bridges. As of the end of March, the financial system continues with low growth in loans, reaching roughly 3% over the last 12 months, with retail growing less than 5% and commercial remaining relatively flat. PDLs reach 3% at system level, with cost of risk relatively stable at 2.2. All of this has resulted in an impact in the financial system profitability of 2 full ROE points so far. Our prior estimates of loan growth of around 8-9% for the system seem difficult to be achieved as we see it today, and will most likely be in the 4-6 area by year-end. On the positive side, the government has approved a reconstruction program that should start to be executed in the coming months, boosting public and private investments. This program will be pursued by a newly defined government unit that has autonomy to execute projects with simplified processes with the aim of accelerating the reconstruction, which will demand approximately 20 billion soles, as stated by the Prime Minister. The reconstruction plan will be ready in 3 months, but certain rehabilitation projects have already been approved and should start briefly, including 65 bridges, 1,500 schools, and 900 medical centers. Moreover, we expect a much better scenario for the financial system in the coming year, in line with the upward revision of GDP estimates for 2018, but the following quarters might still be weak. As regards to the impact of El Niño on IFS, and particularly on Interbank, we have around 1 billion soles in loans outstanding, potentially affected, 40% approximately of which corresponds to commercial and SME loans, and 60% to retail loans. Within the commercial loan portfolio, the main sectors potentially impacted include transport, agriculture, commerce, and construction, accounting for more than 80% of the total. Limited impact on SMEs due to our low market share on the segment, accounting for less than 10% of the total loans potentially affected. Within the retail portfolio, the total impact is still difficult to determine, but includes credit cards, payroll loans, and some mortgages. The total amount of loans under the restructuring scheme approved by the superintendency as of the end of April is around 300 million soles, 30% of which is commercial and SMEs, and 70% of which is retail loans, mainly credit cards. Some additional clients have been identified as potential for entering the restructuring scheme during this month. The total impact on provisions for the year is still to be determined as the restructuring schemes mature and as we see how clients behave with respect to their payment capabilities during next quarter. We are monitoring it closely. No additional impacts on Interseguro and Inteligo, as Luis Felipe previously mentioned. Now, let me start the discussion of the quarterly performance by referring to pages 2, 3, 4 of the presentation. The main highlights are, at Interbank, loan portfolio growth was higher than the industry. The first quarter results were impacted by higher cost of risk and lower FX activity. At Interseguro, results are impacted by annuity market dynamics and IFRS accounting discount rate. Strong quarter at Inteligo, with activity, revenues, and profitability growing substantially quarter on quarter and year on year. IFS first quarter net profit reached 158 million soles, which is a 160% increase year on year, but a 59% reduction quarter on quarter, mainly due to the impact of the discount rate in Interseguro's result, as previously explained. When looking at figures at IFS level, net interest and similar income increases 3.9% year-on-year, but decreases 0.9% quarter-on-quarter, while fee income from financial services increases 6.8% year-on-year, but decreases 0.3% quarter-on-quarter. The quarterly decreases are mainly explained by seasonality factors, and in the case of net interest income, to some extent by the credit card portfolio. NIM remains flat quarter on quarter at 5.6%, but NIM on loans at Interbank decreases 60 basis points to 9.4%, mainly due to a higher growth in the commercial portfolio and a decrease in the weight of credit cards within the retail portfolio, together with a decrease in the yield of the credit card portfolio. PDLs increased 10 basis points, reaching 2.6% on a quarterly basis at IFS level. Cost of risk increased 40 basis points quarter on quarter to 3.2%, mainly due to an increase in credit cards. Efficiency improved 80 basis points on a quarterly basis, down to 39.5% when excluding the impact of discount rates on technical reserves at Interseguro. Capitalization ratio for Interbank remains strong, with total capital ratio at 17.1%. Please turn to the following pages for a brief overview of the quarterly net earnings of IFS 3 segments. On page 7, talking about Interbank, performing loans grew 0.7% quarter on quarter and 1.5% when excluding the exchange rate impact as a result of a 1.7% increase in commercial loans, partially offset by a 0.3% contraction in retail loans. Growth in commercial loans was mainly due to increases in short and medium-term lending, partially offset by decreases in leasing operations and trade loans. Retail loans decreased due to a 3.7% contraction in credit cards, partially compensated by increases of 1.2% in mortgages and 1.2% in other consumer loans. Looking at the year-on-year performance, loans grew 4.4% year-on-year and 5.1% when excluding the exchange rate impact, due to increases of 4.9% in commercial loans and 4% in retail loans. Commercial loans grew mainly due to increases in trade loans and short and medium-term lending, partially compensated by a reduction in leasing operations. Retail loans grew, driven by growth of 5.6% in other consumer loans, 4.8% in mortgages, and 1% in credit cards. In this context of low growth in the market, we have been able to increase our market share on total loans 20 basis points on a quarterly and yearly basis. On page 8, given the low growth in the loan portfolio, we've been focusing on trying to optimize our cost of funds as reflected by the 10 basis points improvement on a quarterly basis, down to 2.8%, by retaining the most cost-efficient deposits and letting go some corporate and institutional expensive deposits. This explains the quarterly decrease of deposits of 7.2%. In retail, the 1.7% decrease is mainly due to exchange rate impact, while the decrease in commercial and institutional deposits is mainly due to the strategy previously described, which had an impact on our deposit market share. On page 9, when looking at SBS comparable figures to the system, Interbank's past due loan ratio increased 10 basis points on a quarterly basis, reaching 2.7% and below the system average of 3%. And which increased 20 basis points in this same period. The coverage ratio remains strong at 174%. The same trends are valid for the IFRS PDL figures. When looking at the PDL's breakdown, we can see within retail that overall consumer credit PDL has increased 30 basis points quarter on quarter to 3.9% and is slightly above the system average. Credit cards PDLs increased 50 basis points to 5.5%, above the system average of 5.1%, mainly due to both an increase in PD loans in the past due loans and to a decrease of the credit cards portfolio of 3% in the quarter. Within the commercial portfolio, PDLs improved in corporate down to 0.5% and slightly increased both in medium and small and micro company, but remain well below the system average. The annualized ratio of provision expense to average loans has increased 40 basis points to 3.3% in this quarter. This ratio remains above the system average of 2.3, mainly due to the mix of our portfolio with a higher incidence of retail and credit cards when compared to the system and to the other big three banks. The weight of our credit card portfolio is 16% on our total portfolio compared to 8% of the system. When looking at IFRS cost of risk figures, the trends remain the same. On page 10, our portfolio has continued to de-dollarize, with 74% of loans being soles denominated versus 68% of the industry. This is mainly due to two factors. We have a higher share of retail loans, which are more soles-based than commercial loans. Only 8% of our retail loans are dollar-denominated. And second, we have a higher soles-based component in our mortgage portfolio within retail loans. Dollar-denominated mortgages represent 15% of total mortgages and are down from 20% in the last 12 months. On page 11, efficiency ratio stands at 43.3%, with a slight deterioration versus prior quarter, mainly due to the decrease in revenues. Moreover, it is important to mention that at this quarter, we have started to see the effects of higher expenses due to our technology investments, including the outsourcing of our data centers, as well as other investments required for enhancing our digital efforts. On page 12, as of this first quarter, Interbank's capital ratio is 17.1%, 500 basis points above its risk-adjusted minimum capital ratio requirement established at 11.9% and above the system average of 15.8%. The minimum regulatory capital ratio requirement was 10%, while the additional capital requirement for Interbank was 1.9%. Core equity tier 1 ratio was 8.8%. Please turn to the following page to discuss Interseguro's results. On page 14, Interseguro's net result attributable to shareholders was a loss of 75.9 million, which compares to 131.6 million profit in the fourth quarter and a loss of 135 million in the first quarter of the previous year. Interseguro's profit, excluding discount rate impact on technical reserves, was 3.8 million in this quarter, compared to profits of 29 million in the fourth quarter of 2016 and losses of 47 million in first quarter of 2016. The quarterly decline in bottom line results was mainly explained by increases of 182 million in adjustment of technical reserves and 38.8 million in impairment loss on available for sale investment, partially offset by 18.9 increase in net gain on sale of securities. The yearly improvement in bottom line results was mainly due to a 25 million increase in net gain on sale of securities, in addition to a 16 million decrease in impairment loss on available for sale investments and 16 million increase in net interest and similar income. On page 15, you can see a comparison with local GAAP results. Interseguro's net results in the first quarter was 22.7 million under local GAAP, which compares to the 75.9 million loss under IFRS. The main differences between the IFRS and the local GAAP profits are as follows. First, a higher adjustment of technical reserves under IFRS as a result of the use of a different weighted average discount rate to calculate technical reserves for annuities. Second, a lower net result on valuation of real estate investments under IFRS as a result of the use of different discount rates to calculate NPV of real estate investment valued under DCF methodology. Third, a higher profit in foreign exchange as a result of different dollar stock of assets and liabilities in IFRS when compared to local GAAP. And last, a lower result in impairment loss on available for sale investment as under IFRS, the book value of impaired security is adjusted to realize the gain or loss when sold. On page 16, net premiums were 134.7 million in the first quarter, decreasing 14 million quarter on quarter and 42 million year on year. The quarterly reduction was mainly explained by a decrease of 12 million in annuities and 2.4 million in retail insurance. The annual decrease was mainly related to a market contraction in annuities due to the regulation implemented in April 2016, allowing retirees to cash out a significant portion of their pension funds. Annuities market share in the first quarter was 20.6%. Adjustment of technical reserves was 176.6 million compared to 5.7 million in the fourth quarter and 228 million in the first quarter. The quarterly growth was mainly due to different discount rate impacts in annuities. This rate increased by 17 basis points in the fourth quarter and decreased 16 basis points in the first quarter of this year. The yearly increase was also a result of a different discount rate impact in annuities, decreasing by 21 basis points versus the first quarter of last year. Considering the factors previously explained, total premium earned less claims and benefit resulted in a loss of 125.8 million in this first quarter, a decrease of 192.5 million quarter on quarter, and an increase of 1.7 million year on year. On page 17, Interseguro's investment portfolio reached 5.6 billion, increasing 4% quarter on quarter and 9.8% year on year. The quarterly decrease was explained by a 38.8 million negative effect attributed to book value adjustment of previously impaired instruments, which was registered in the fourth quarter of 2016 given the sale of such securities, coupled with a decrease of 11.1 million in net gain of valuation of real estate investment. The yearly increase was largely explained by increase of 25.3 million in net gain on sale of securities, 16.4 million in impairment loss on available for sale investment, and 16.1 million in net interest and similar income. On page 19, we will start the discussion on Inteligo Group results. Page 19, as previously mentioned, Inteligo had very positive results in 2016, with in this first quarter as well as 2016, with a solid quarter in activity, revenues, efficiency, and profitability. Inteligo's first quarter 2017 net profit reached almost 50 million soles, a 27% increase quarter on quarter and 60% increase year on year. Inteligo's net interest and similar income in the first quarter was 25.8 million, a 20% increase when compared with the fourth quarter of last year. The quarterly result was mainly explained by higher income and dividends on investments available for sale and lower interest and similar expenses. Net interest and similar income increased by 4.9% when compared to the same period in the previous year. This result was attributable to the performance of income on investments available for sale, partially offset by higher interest expenses on deposits and obligations. Net fee income from financial services was 29 million, a decrease of 4.6% when compared to the previous quarter, but an increase of 19.6% when compared to the previous year. Inteligo's other income reached 10.3 million in this first quarter, registering a 9.8% decrease quarter on quarter, but a very strong increase year on year, while other expenses decreased 22.9% when compared to the previous quarter and decreased by 5.1% year on year, mostly explained by a reduction in administrative expenses due to lower third-party related services. On page 20, asset under management plus deposits reached 14.5 billion in the first quarter, a 2.3% decrease when compared to the previous quarter, but an 8.6% increase when compared to the first quarter of the previous year. The quarterly growth rate was negatively affected by a 3.2% appreciation of the exchange rate quarter on quarter as funds managed are denominated in dollars. When looking at dollar figures, asset under management plus deposits grew both quarter on quarter and year on year. Inteligo's loan portfolio reached 1.7 billion in the first quarter, a 2.1% decrease quarter on quarter and 1.3% decrease year on year. Loan portfolio is also denominated in dollars, which grew 1.1% in dollar terms quarter on quarter. Revenues generated by Inteligo were 68 million, a 7.2% increase quarter on quarter and 33.6% increase year on year. Inteligo's bank fee income divided by assets under management increased to 1% in the first quarter. Inteligo's net profit was 49 million, while annualized ROE was 28.2%, higher than the 23.6% reported in the fourth quarter and the 20.5% registered in the first quarter of the previous year. A final remark, since our last conference call, there have not been any additional purchases of own shares under the share repurchase program announced on May last year. Now, we welcome any questions you may have.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. Okay, we'll take our first question from Carlos Rivera with Citi. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks a lot for the presentation, Micaela. My first question is regarding loan growth. We saw a 4% increase in the loan book, particularly driven by the commercial segment. You gained market share there. So just wondering if you could give us a little bit more color there. What is driving these? Was this like one large item ticket? Or what are you doing differently from competitors to gain market share there? And do you think is that sustainable? And my second question would be just regarding loan loss provisions. I know it's probably early for to assess the full impact of El Nino, but just if you could clarify if you booked anything extraordinary due to that in this quarter, that would be appreciated. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Carlos, for your questions. First, related to loan growth, this growth is actually being spread between the three different segments that we manage. So we are growing both in corporate clients, middle market clients, and also on our SME segment. Basically, on our large corporate and mid-sized clients, we've been pursuing a pipeline of deals which came into place into this quarter. So basically, we are being closely to our clients and also trying to understand which needs they might have also coming from the current scenario that we're living. And related to our SMEs clients, we did a restructuring of the way in which we serve clients at the end of last year. So basically, we do now have our relationship managers at our stores. And basically, this change has helped us to revert a trend of decreasing loans that was in place last year. And starting September last year, we started to grow in this SME segment. And we have continued to do so also this segment, which is also helping the growth that you have seen at the end of the first quarter. We've seen a little bit of recovery in this activity, so basically we are experiencing similar trends as of April and this start of May. And related to your second question on loan loss provisions, basically, as I mentioned in the script, it is really very difficult to determine today what can be the impact on provision for this year. Some of the clients that we have included in the restructuring scheme have been restructured, let's say, for 30, 60, or 90 days. So we will only be able to understand the exact impact once those restructuring schemes mature. We have not include any additional provision specific for El Niño in this first quarter, as we still have under our stock of provisions a portion of voluntary provisions that we did last year, and also all the stock of the procyclical provisions that we have continued to build even after the rule of procyclical provisions deactivated many months ago. So let's say that we feel that we could face some of the additional impacts that could come in the next quarter with that.
Okay. Can you just remind us, please, the amount of excess provisions that you have created in the past? How much is that, please?
The voluntary provisions that we built at the end of last year were roughly 40 million.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Plus the procyclical provisions that we also have on stock.
Okay. Great.
And we'll take our next question from Guilherme Costa with ITAU BBA. Your line is open. And we'll take our next question from Jason Mullen with Scotiabank. Your line is open.
Is focused a bit on going forward, looking at loan growth and what the reactivation, hopefully in the second half or maybe next year, of the economy, and looking at the retail side, what will it take to a return to more robust loan growth for retail, and give us how you think that will evolve? And my second question is a follow-up on the exposure to El Nino. You mentioned approximately a billion soles in exposure. If you can tell us, what is the stock? What percentage of that billion is already reserved in stock? Thank you.
Hello, Jason. Thanks for your question. First, related to loan growth, when we discussed this issue some months ago, we were expecting a scenario in which the system could grow between 8 and 9%. This was a scenario which was expecting a recovery of the economy or a strong recovery of the economy in the second half of the year. As we stand today, we believe that scenario is very difficult to be achieved. So we have revised our guidance, let's say, to 4 to 6% loan growth to the system, and we will try to be at least in line with that. Between commercial and retail, what we are seeing today is a recovery of the commercial growth, but still the retail side is hit by the slowdown in the economy. And we believe that will continue for one or two quarters. We will need to see after we understand the total impact of El Niño also. So what we are envisioning today is a recovery during 2018, but still a couple of quarters with weak performance. And as regards to the Niño, as I mentioned, we have this 1 billion of potentially affected portfolio. And basically these 300 million of clients which we have included under the restructuring scheme, which are the ones that we have been able either to contact one by one or through some massive restructurings, but we have not constituted any specific provision for these clients, and we have not identified any specific case yet that would indicate that there is need to do so. So that will have to be, of course, reviewed, and we are monitoring week by week in order to see the behavior and the payment capability of these clients in the coming months after the restructuring schemes mature.
Yeah, it's Luis Felipe. Just to add on to Michaela's comment of that billion that are exposed to the areas where the Niño hit, actually, a big portion is commercial. We don't foresee much trouble on that portfolio. We've been close to those companies, mainly in the transport, in the agriculture sectors. We have not seen anything that really worries us. And then on the retail front, as Michaela was mentioning, it's a matter of keeping close to our customer base. And while the reprogramming matures, we'll be able to assess more in a detailed way exactly what could be the impact.
Is it say something like a general comment about the loan loss reserves on the balance sheet, the stock, is what I was trying to ask. I mean, is that typically for these kinds of loans, would it be, especially in the retail sector, would it be 10% of the balance? Would it be 15%? That's already been, let's say that when during the process of granting the loans, you created loan loss allowances of some amount on the balance sheet that are already there.
Yeah. The way it works is we book a percentage for every loan we grant. If when underwritten, it's around 1.5%. As Michaela mentioned, for special situation, we have the procyclical provisions we have booked that are around 150 million level right now, no? That are intact and we have not used them and we continue to constitute. And then depending on the classification of the loan or the customer, we move to higher levels of provisioning, no?
And Jason, maybe if I can add a couple of numbers, our stock of provisions as of the first quarter is 1.2 billion, okay? And the coverage ratio that we have is 174%, okay? And that 1.2 billion of stock of provisions includes the 150 million that Felipe was mentioning of procyclical provisions and the 40 million voluntary provisions that we mentioned before.
Great.
And once again, that's star and one to ask a question. And there are no more questions at this time. I would like to turn the program over to Mrs. Casassa for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you everybody for joining the call, and we hope to see you all during our second quarter call in August. Thanks.